As was announced, the scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Excuse me. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
We'll come back to that passage later. Right now, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. If any of you have opportunity to come out to Westview this coming week through Wednesday night, we'd love to have you. Tad Corder, some of you may not have heard of him, he preaches in Russellville, and he studied with many of us for quite some time. Very knowledgeable person in the scriptures, and I think you would enjoy meeting Tad, and you may have met him somewhere in the past and not realized who he is, but he's come to meetings over our way, Coleman and at Hartsville and other places, and you'd enjoy meeting him and hearing him preach. Pride's at the very root of so many evil things. Why do we have it a hard time to say sometimes, I'm sorry? It's pride. We don't like to admit that we were wrong. Why is it hard sometimes for us to say, I forgive you? Again, it's pride. We forget how many times somebody's had to forgive us. Why is it sometimes we want to have our way all the time, thinking everybody ought to cater to us? That's pride. Why would we sometimes read clearly what God's word says, but say, yeah, but I think? That's pride at the worst, thinking somehow we know more than God does. Pride. No wonder the Bible says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. And in Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 16, there's six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. First one mentioned is a proud look. So let's talk about the need for humility. Jesus, on three different occasions, said that he who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, I'm not going to look at all those, but I want to look at two of them, because it gives us just a beautiful picture of the difference between pride and humility. And the first one is here in Luke chapter 18. Start with verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to those some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And as I've probably done already in your presence, as we read the prayer of the Pharisee, I want you to be asking yourself, what did he ask for? All right, start with verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. There's our expression. What did the Pharisee ask for? Nothing. He told the Lord how good he was. I'm not like that tax collector. I'm not an adulterer. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do we see pride? And there's that tax collector bowing his head. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Where is the pride? We can see it clearly, can't we? Where is the humility? We can see it clearly. And in fact, back in December, you may remember, we talked about the first four Beatitudes. And here's a man who displays those beautifully. He's poor in spirit. He knows he doesn't have anything to offer. He's spiritually bankrupt. He's mourning. He's meek. He's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That righteousness that can only come through God's forgiveness. Humility. Now, let's go to the second one. I'm going to chapter 14 of Luke. I'm starting with verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited to anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, for one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The tables at feasts like that, I understand, were shaped in a U-shape. And the chief seat would be right in the middle of the U. And then as you went to other seats around, you would get to the lesser seats. The people would sit on the, well, actually recline on the outsides, and whoever serves would serve within the U. Well, here's the main seat right here. Well, where would be the next biggest seat? Well, it'd be right next to them on each side. And then the next, and the next, and the next, until you get down to the end of the U, and that's the lowest seat. Jesus said, when you come, just take the lowest seat. And it may be that whoever gives the feast would come and say, why are you down here? You need to come up. On the other hand, if you take this seat way up here, let me ask you, where's the next fellow going to sit? He's going to sit right next to you. Then the next, and the next, and the next. So when he comes and says, will you give way to this gentleman, please? You don't go to that next seat. It's already full. From others that want higher seats, you got to go all the way down to the end. Just take the lowest seat. If you're invited to come up, okay. If you're not, okay. Just take the lowest seat. Do we see the difference between pride and humility? Pride takes the higher seat. Humility just takes the lower seat. Humility. What's Jesus teaching us? He's teaching us to count others better than ourselves, to look out not just for our own interest, but the interest of others. I often refer to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And then he gives Jesus as the perfect example. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What did Jesus do for us? He left heaven. He left his position with God and came to this earth and died for us. It's one of the beautiful pictures of what Jesus did for us, but it's not here to tell us what Jesus did for us. It's here to tell us the mind that we're to have. You have this kind of mind in you. You talk about somebody that put the needs of others ahead of his own need. No one is example of that like our Lord is, who put our needs ahead of his own and left heaven and came to earth to die for us. Let that mind be in you. Look at the next verses. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What did he do? He humbled himself. What did God do? He exalted him. Isn't that what we're talking about? Humble yourselves. God will exalt you. Exalt yourself, and God will humble you. Well, somebody may be thinking, well, how do I develop this humility in my own life? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. The first one may surprise you a little bit. Develop love. I've kind of gone through a little debate in my mind. Does humility build love, or does love build humility? The two of them just go hand in hand. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a great picture of love that we have in the Bible, and it's in contrast to all of the jealousies that went with spiritual gifts. Start with verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What enables us to be long-suffering toward others? What enables us to be kind, especially to those who are not kind to us? What enables us not to be puffed up, not to parade ourselves? Love. No humility. No love. Do you see how those two work together? And if we can develop genuine love in our hearts for others, it will produce humility, or it may be that it's a humility that produces love. And of course, let me be sure to emphasize, I think we've already talked about this before, that we're talking about agape love. We're talking about not a spirit blend with spirit kind of a love. It's easy to love you guys. I hope it's easy to love me. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about a love that makes up one's mind. I'm going to love this person. He may not deserve my love. He may not love me. He may be my enemy. He may be some child molester, but I'm going to love him. I'm going to seek his good. I'm not going to seek his hurt. I'm going to seek his good. And you just voluntarily make up your mind, I'm going to love this person. What enables you to do that? Is it not closely akin to humility that you would put his needs out there and love him in spite of all that he's done to you? Love. Humility. How do you develop humility? Well, I'm just going to start out by saying learn to love. Well, here's the second thing. Just remember that whatever contribution you can make in the Lord's service, and I'm not talking here about material contributions, I'm talking about contributions by way of leading in prayer and doing whatever abilities you have that contribute to the Lord's service, it's all according to the grace given to you. Turn to Romans 12. I'm starting with verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6. Notice these words. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you. Now, whatever gifts it is, it's according to the grace given to you. Well, let's see what else he says. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Well, whatever it is, it's all according to the grace given to you. I don't know who the best preacher is in Cullman County. I don't know who the best song leader is in Cullman County, or the best Bible class teacher, or maybe the best teacher of other women, which is a wonderful quality. But whoever it is, it's according to the grace given to them. God gave it to them. I have a CD of a man named Ray Walker leading a congregation in songs written by Tillett S. Tedley. He was leading these on Tedley's 100th birthday. And in the CD, Brother Tedley actually speaks. Now, you may have never heard that word, that name, but he has contributed greatly to our worship in the songs he's written. Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? That's a Tillett S. Tedley song. Or worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor. That's a Tillett S. Tedley song. And one of the songs he wrote was Heaven Holds All to Me, which I think all of you would know. And on this CD, they tell us when he wrote that song. He was a young man. He had just been to the funeral of a friend and had sat down on a stump in the yard of the building where he was baptized and had an old envelope. He took a pencil and wrote, Heaven Holds All to Me, sitting on that stump. That, I don't relate to that. That's genius. Where'd he get it? According to the grace given to him. And the song leader, Ray Walker, whom I knew years ago, has a most powerful voice. He sang professionally for a good long while. I take it his voice must range 3 octaves, and mine doesn't range 1 hardly. Where did he get that voice? According to the grace given to him. Whatever we can do, whether we're the best song leader, best preacher, best greeter of visitors who come in, the best in leading in prayer, whatever it is, God gave it to you. And there is absolutely no room for pride in our lives. Just remember, whatever achievement you have reached and able to do, it's according to the grace given to you. Now look at verse 3. Are you still in Romans 12, verse 3? For I say, through the grace given to me, there's that expression again, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Even Paul says, my warning for us not to be exalted above measure is all by the grace given to me. It's all by the grace given to us. And when we think of that, sometimes when we get to thinking ourselves as pretty important and pretty great and all that, just remember, it's all according to the grace given to you. Let me give you a third thing. Remember that there's a God in heaven who can alter your life in a moment. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 now. Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under what? The mighty hand of God. Can you imagine a person and he gets to thinking, well, you know, I've got it made. I mean, things are just going so well for him and he's just kind of getting a little inflated in his mind and figuratively, he looks up and there's a hand. Don't think of my hand, the mighty hand of God. And he brings him right down. Back when I was at school, that was something like 100 years ago. There was a young girl, and she got a spider on her desk. And she wasn't as afraid of spiders as a lot of young girls might be. And that spider, I'd watch her. I don't know how the teacher kept from seeing her. But that spider would get almost free. And when that spider almost get to the edge, down would come a hand. And that spider hit another way. Down would come a hand, and that spider would head another way. Always altering the course of that spider. That's what God can do for us. We get up in the morning and we think we're going to do this and this and this and this, and everything's just going to. All of a sudden, our lives are changed in a moment. And God is able to do that. And we need to humble ourselves. And remember that life is not altogether in our hands. That there is one who can alter our lives and do it so quickly. And let us bring ourselves to humility under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us instead of us trying to exalt ourselves. Well, let me give you a fourth one, then this may be the greatest one. If you want to become humble, determine to become like Jesus. Turn to the book of, trying to think what book it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 3 it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Seek to become like Jesus. Look at verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Can you imagine a young man or young lady, and that person says, I want to become like Jesus Christ. How do you become like Jesus? Well, you look into the life of Jesus. You spend a lot of time, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, observing Jesus, what Jesus does in various situations. You observe his character, his love, his humility, his unselfishness. And as you stare into the picture of Jesus, as it were, you gradually become transformed into his very image. Isn't that what this verse is saying? Read it again, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we spend time not just looking into the image of God, of the Lord, but with intent. I want to become like him. How? What is he? What's his character? What's his love? What's his humility? What's his unselfishness? And I stare into the picture of our Lord given to us in the Bible. And little by little by little, people see those same traits in me. The same character, same love, same humility, same unselfishness. How do I become humble? Come like Jesus. Pride goes before destruction. A hearty spirit or haughty spirit before a fall. But when a person will humble himself, God will exalt him. Let's take that to heart and become creatures of humility, avoiding all that we can of pride within our lives. Sometimes it takes humility just to say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And bring yourself to fall at his feet and say, I'm yours. I'm no longer my own. I'm just yours. Do with me, use me in whatever way you want to. I'm yours. I'm not myself. And place your hope and faith in God. Isn't that what we talked about in the first lesson? Will you come to Christ, believe in him, put your faith there, then let that faith build repentance, and then bring you to confess his faith and your faith and be baptized and find forgiveness. And then, as we prayed a moment ago, devote your life to serving him and to be the humble servant that he wants you to be. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.